Welcome to the Equipping You in Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. The Equipping You in Grace podcast is a podcast about helping Christians develop a biblical worldview in a conversational tone about issues inside and outside the church. Now, for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
All right, guys, well, welcome back to the Wednesday episode of Equipping You in Grace. On today's episode, we're going to talk about the purpose of thankfulness in the Christian life. You know, since we're right around Thanksgiving, a few days away, I thought that this would be a good subject for us to talk about and think about because, you know, thankfulness is something that we should take seriously in our lives. In fact, the very essence of the Christian life can be summarized in many legitimate ways, including forgiveness, the realization that the Father has forgiven us in Christ and thus requires us to forgive others, holiness, because we've been set apart as holy through the work of the Savior, we must put holiness into practice in our lives, and patience. God, in His patience, was kind to us and brought us to repentance, so we must bear with the faults of others and wait patiently for the Lord to fulfill His purposes. In fact, many other suggestions could be given in summary of what the Christian life is about, but one that is very important is thankfulness. In fact, gratitude even envelops Paul's prayer for the church at Colossae in Colossians 1:3-12, indicating that thankfulness has a very vital place in the Christian life. In fact, it's to be the perpetual attitude of Paul. It's to be the disposition of the Christians in Colossae. You see, Paul is always giving thanks for the faith, the hope, and the love of the believers at Colossae. And so the Colossians and even all other Christians by extension are taught to give thanks for the great salvation that they have in abundance. And so they're supposed to be overflowing with thanksgiving. The Israel in the Old Testament fell into idolatry because they did not remember the Lord who brought them out of Egypt. They ended up thanking gods who were not gods at all for their redemption. We should never do the same. We have the grace of God in Christ alone, and that was a costly treasure that Christ purchased for us for our eternal life. Now we can live a Christian life out of gratitude only when we recall that everything we have and all that we have is an inheritance in the Christian life. Now, an inheritance is something that is passed from one person who earned it to a benefactor who has not worked for it, wholly at the initiative of the earner. And Paul can refer to our salvation as an inheritance because it is something that Jesus earned for us and that we do not work for, but we receive by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. John Chrysostom, an early church father and a bishop at Constantinople in the late 4th century, says this, "For no one leads a life so good as to be counted worthy of the kingdom, but the whole is his free gift." And so, it's obviously difficult to follow Paul's teaching to give thanks in all circumstances in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which is why we need strengthening from on high by the grace of God to persevere with joy as we thank the Lord. And this power, it only comes from the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of us, who indwells us to remind us of all the blessings that are ours and all the privileges and all the rights that are ours as children of God so that we might thank Him. Now, Paul does not command us to be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18 and then immediately move on to other subjects. He gives several evidences of the Spirit-filled life that we might recognize the work of the third person of the Trinity. The first of these is the presence of song in our hearts and on our lips. Those who submit to the Holy Spirit's sanctifying presence address others in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord, Colossians 3:19 says. And now here the apostle, he repeats what he says about the indwelling Word of Christ in Colossians 3:16. If the Savior dwells in our hearts by the Spirit, His Word also dwells within us by His Spirit. And the fact the Spirit uses this Word to make us holy and to fill us with joy that overflows in song. A second evidence of the Spirit-filled life, as seen in Ephesians 5:20-21, is an attitude of perpetual gratitude for all things directed to God the Father in the person of Jesus Christ. And since we're born into this world as ungrateful people, the Holy Spirit's work of transformation includes changing us from ingratitude into profoundly grateful people. In fact, in contrast to this, in this world, who are never content with the provision of God, the true Christian is to be thankful for everything, even the smallest of joys. And Christians, they understand that we deserve nothing but the Lord's wrath, and so we're thankful for all of the blessings that the Lord gives. In fact, Ephesians 5:21 also explains that our submission to one another is evidence of the Spirit-filled life. Paul, in Ephesians 5:22-6:9, he explains that certain individuals have positions of authority that are not shared by everyone in the church. In fact, the apostle's view of submission is the submission of service. All of us, no matter our responsibilities, are to put others first and to seek to meet their needs before us. John Calvin says this, "God has bound us so strong to each other that no man ought to endeavor to avoid subjection. And where love reigns, mutual service will be rendered. I do not accept even kings and governors whose very authority is held for the service of the community. It is highly proper that all should be exhorted to be subject to each other in their turn." After all, Jesus in Matthew 23:11 teaches that servanthood is the path to real greatness, not the position we hold, not the degrees we have or the authority that we've been given. In fact, even those who have authority over people, including husbands, executive, parents, pastors, teachers, they must submit to those under them in a spirit of service. True leaders are always putting the needs of others before their own, and Christian leaders who do not do so must repent of their sin and serve others well with the grace of God. In fact, along with our failure to honor God, Romans 1:21 says that our lack of gratitude to Jesus is the other primal sin that motivates all of the various forms of wickedness that are on display in human conduct. Like the error we commit in dishonoring God, it's also easy to see how ingratitude motivates a host of other evils. For instance, if we're not grateful to God for all the blessings He's given us, we're going to quickly begin to feel as if we have been cheated somehow. And this is going to blossom into covetousness as we envy others whom we perceive to be more blessed than we are. And we might even go further into theft or adultery when we take things that are not rightfully ours. In fact, biblical ethics have gratitude at their core. It's always thankfulness to the Lord that's to motivate our obedience. In fact, this is evident from the structure of the biblical narrative itself. When God speaks to His people after the fall, He always reminds them of how much He's done for them before He delivers His laws. And the Ten Commandments were not given to ancient Israel until after the Lord rescued them from slavery in Egypt. That's what Exodus 21-17 tells us. In the epistles, Peter, Paul, all the other apostles lay out the great truths of redemption. That is what Christ has done before they make application of those truths in practical, ethical matters. From first to last, thankfulness is one of the major animating impulses of a true Christian ethic. Now, according to the Word of God, gratitude is not simply something that we feel, but it's something that we must demonstrate to others. When interpreters look at the account of the cleansing of the 10 lepers in Luke 17:11-19, they often draw the distinction between one leper who was thankful and nine who were ungrateful. And yet, this is not exactly what we see in that passage. We have no reason to believe that the nine who did not immediately thank Jesus for their healing felt no gratitude. For who among us would not be tempted to run home immediately and even share the good news if we should be healed of some terrible ailment? This can be done even as we're feeling thankful in our hearts towards the healer. No, the real difference between the one who went back to Jesus and the nine who did not, is that the one who returned displayed his gratitude while the others kept it to themselves. Christian thankfulness will always display itself in good deeds and verbal expressions of gratitude. Now, we might think that we're grateful to God for what he's done for us, but if we never work to serve others, especially as people, then we must question the authenticity of our thankfulness. James 2:14 through 26 and other passages make it clear that Christian virtues are not merely inward thoughts and feelings, but are expressed in concrete acts of love and service. And so let us show how thankful we are to God by doing good to others. One of my all-time favorite quotes is by J.C. Ryle, and he says this: "Thankfulness is a flower which will never bloom well except upon a root of deep humility." Now let's talk about that for just a minute here. And the reason why this quote is so important is what Ryle is saying is we have to have a right view of God. If we have a right view of God, guess what we'll have? We'll have a right view of ourselves. We'll actually be humble. If we see ourselves in light of God and his majesty and his awesomeness and his glory, we should fall on our knees like Isaiah in Isaiah 6. We say, "Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips." After all, we're talking about what Exodus 3:14 says, the I am God, which Jesus, by the way, reiterates 7 times in John's gospel. It shows his deity. We're not just talking about, you know, somebody like Buddha or Joseph Smith or something like that. When we talk about Jesus, we're talking about Jesus, fully God, fully man. He paid the penalty in our place and for our sin. He rose again from the grave. He came under the sentence of death. How can we respond in any other way to Jesus, especially as Christians, for saving us from our sins while we were yet, Ephesians 2 says, dead in our trespasses and sins? What did God do? He saved us. He saved us by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. The thing that I've been contemplating recently is, you know what? Ephesians 2:10 tells us that God prepared in advance the works that he has for us. Think about that. The work that you're doing, the work that God's called you to do, he called you, he prepared you for it. He's equipped you to do it. You know, that boggles my mind, and it makes me very grateful. Grateful for the work that God has given me to do. And you know what? You may not like the job that you have, but don't you understand the idea here, what Paul is saying in Ephesians 2:10? That God prepared the work that he has for you in Christ. That means that whatever work you have to do, you should do it with thankfulness and gratitude in your heart. In fact, you know what's interesting? In Philippians 4, we know that great passage about, you know, be anxious about nothing but in everything by prayer with thanksgiving. So we're not only supposed to pray, we're not only supposed to give our petitions. The disposition of our heart is to be one of thankfulness. And that's where Ryle is right. This is where he's touching on. Thankfulness will never bloom well. And I would add in our hearts to that sentence. Upon a root of deep humility, Ryle says. Why? Because humility, to understand and to be humble, means that you continue to see yourself day after day, moment after moment, year after year, as you really are before God. You know, you don't deserve the grace and the mercy of Christ. And what does God give you? He gives you grace and mercy. But that grace, that mercy, not only justifies you, it not only adopts you, it not only irresistibly draws you to salvation, it not only declares you not guilty. This grace, it also upholds you. It secures you. You're held secure by God because of the grace of God. And because of the grace of God, you will be, one day when you go to be with Jesus, you will be glorified. Even in the midst of your suffering and great pain, what does the grace of God come and do? He comes and He gives you more grace. He shows His grace in innumerable ways. He brings people alongside of you to walk with you. The Spirit intercedes for you. The Holy Spirit comforts you. I mean, everything that God is doing in your life, you know, and Piper's right, God is doing 10 million, 100 million things at one time, and you might see one of them. And even the thought of that God is at work behind the scenes, working for your good and for your glory to conform you, as Romans 8:28 says, into the image of Christ, that's good news. And it should produce a deep humility and a thankfulness that in which humility can grow. And you might wonder, what does humility look like? It looks like when somebody, for example, compliments you, what's your first reaction? Is it to just take that and receive it and just pat yourself on the back? Rather, a truly humble person, this is what it looks like. A truly humble person will instead not deflect in being grateful for the encouragement. Instead, they'll say something like this, you know, thank you so much for your encouragement, and I'm going to offer that encouragement to the Lord because He alone deserves that because of His grace, or something like that. You acknowledge the person. You acknowledge that you're grateful for the encouragement, and you're giving thanks. You're thankful for it. But you ultimately lift it up before the Lord, and you thank Him for the gift of the encouragement, because it's Him that's offering, you know, that encouragement. We in ourselves don't deserve any good thing, and yet God gives us good gifts, including encouragement, including friends to uplift us. You know, that's another way we can practice being thankful. We can tell people, you know, this is why I'm thankful for you and thankful for the work of God's grace in your life. This expresses deep humility. It might be uncomfortable for you, but you're humbling yourself before that person to share honestly about what the Lord is doing, what you see in our life. That is awesome, and it's a work of God's grace, and in the heart, it's thankfulness being displayed and humility being demonstrated there. Well, guys, there's a lot that really could be said. I hope that this is helpful to you as we reflect on why we should be thankful this season of Thanksgiving. I just want to say I am beyond thankful to God's grace for all of you who listen. I'm very thankful for how the Lord is at work in using this show all around the world for His glory. And guys, we have a great lineup coming in December and heading into the new year. So I just want to say thank you for listening and watching this show. Please encourage and tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, rate us on the app, and share this with your friends and family on social media. If you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at Servants of Grace, on Instagram at Servants of Grace, or by searching at Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find this episode and many others like it on the front page of our website, servantsofgrace.org.